Thank you so much, Steve and Josh and Marie. Thank you for your music this morning. I also want to say a special thank you to our AV team, who is really trying hard to deal with a system that is constantly falling apart. So Sarah and Trey, thank you for all you're doing. Appreciate you all today, and thank you for your grace as we upgrade our systems around here. Friends, would you please pray with me? Speak to us your truth in your voice this morning, O God. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations in each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We have spent this summer hearing the words of the prophets. Words that speak truth in love to the people of God. Prophetic words are often hard for people to hear. They can be prickly statements. They demand action, change, attention, in order for things to go a different way than they are currently going. Repent. Turn around from the direction you are headed. Heed these words of warning. Listen to the voice of God. Prophetic words are challenging words. But if you pay attention, truly take the words to heart, they can change your life and the lives of those around us. Next. Because it is so rich with the use of metaphor and vivid imagery. There are parts of it, though, where the text is pretty pointed in speaking to communities that need to change. And that is what we are hearing today about the church in Laodicea. Now let's learn about this place. Laodicea is the last of the seven churches that were addressed in Revelation by Jesus. This was a city that was well known for its wealth and its power in the region. It had a banking industry. They minted their own coins in this city. There was a renowned medical school, and there was a thriving textile industry. And interestingly enough, they did not have their own source of natural fresh water in the community. Instead, water was piped through aqueducts from nearby hot springs. And by the time the water reached Laodicea, it was neither refreshingly cold nor therapeutically hot. It was instead lukewarm water. This imagery that was well known to the people was used when Jesus talked about the church community. I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. Because you are lukewarm, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Those people knew what that feeling was like. They probably all wished that their water was a different temperature, and now Jesus is saying that is how they were acting as a community as well. The prickly but important work for us to do as modern-day readers of this passage is to know that these words did not only apply to a community that lived thousands of years ago, but sometimes it applies to us as well, doesn't it? We are a pretty well-off group of folks. We have a considerable amount of wealth and power, especially compared to the rest of the world. As a former Cincinnati Waterworks employee, though, I will argue that our water is wonderfully cold. I'm not sure that part directly applies to us. But the plea from Jesus to be a community that is not acting lukewarm in our faith probably does ring true often. I don't like hearing these words about me, but I am grateful for the nudge and the reminder that God has hopes for the things that we have been given in this life, and that I can be doing more to use them for what Jesus taught us to be doing. So what is the fix then? How do we turn up the heat and become hot water, passionate in our faith and in our calls for justice? How do we become ice cold, a refreshing and invigorating witness to the love of God and the world, just what the thirsty are craving? Well, Jesus calls the community first to repent, which means turn around. Go in a different direction by listening to my voice, he says. Listen, I am standing at the door. I am knocking. If you hear my voice and open that door, I will come in and eat with you and you with me. Listening for the voice of God is a common theme in the Bible. From Deuteronomy and multiple Psalms, all the way to the Gospel of John, Paul's letter to the Hebrews, and here in Revelation, we are always told to listen for what God is telling us. I don't know if you're anything like me, but sometimes that is easier said than done. Some folks are lucky enough in this life to hear the clear voice of God speaking directly to them. What a blessing it is when that happens. Just as often, however, maybe more often, we are left without a booming, clear voice from heaven, or even a clear, still small voice, and it is left to us to try to discern what God is saying. Was that God's voice that I just heard, or was that my own voice? Is that what God wants me to do, or is that my own voice trying to take over? It can be hard to know where the voice of truth is sometimes, perhaps especially when that voice has some prickly words for us to hear. Words that are trying to shake us out of our lukewarm tendencies into something with a little bit more of an extreme temperature. Just because it is hard, though, does not mean we do not seek. We are all gathered together in this place on a beautiful Sunday morning because we do desire to know how God wants us to live. We want to grow. We want to change. We want to be more Christ-like. So where do we start? Every week we start with Scripture. The Bible is a great place to start. God's voice is found on every page, speaking to people in all kinds of places and conditions, and God's word even came down and lived among us in the form of Jesus Christ. So we should always start there. And what did Jesus say? Jesus taught us with his voice that the greatest of all the commandments was to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength and to love our neighbors as ourselves. He spent most of his ministry expanding upon these things. Let's focus on the second part today, loving others. We can all think of parables where Jesus teaches us that the label neighbor extends to all of God's children, even if we fear them or dislike them or don't know them. Jesus used a lot of his ministry to talk about how we are to care for the oppressed and the poor, the downtrodden, the forgotten, the marginalized, the sick, the most vulnerable people among us. What you did to the least of these, you have done to me, he said. So caring for people, especially those in need right now, I think is what it looks like to turn up the temperature of our faith. To go from praying only to praying and acting. To go from wishing things were different to doing something about it. And here's the thing I've been pondering this week. If we say that all people have the imago Dei, the image of God, in their very being, then perhaps when we are listening for the voice of God for guidance and direction, we should start by listening to the voices of the people that are hurting around us. Instead of only waiting for that booming voice from heaven, what if we took the time to truly seek out and listen with empathy and compassion to the voices of the people Jesus asked us to help? Perhaps God is speaking to us through people who Jesus spent so much of his ministry paying attention to. What would this look like, do you think? We do a lot of praying for people in our church. That is amazing. Prayer should always be our first step. We should always return to prayer. What if we then combine it with seeking out the voices of the people we are praying for? What if we learn from them, be challenged by them, grow in love for them and with them? We have a lot of chances to do that here in our own community, even this very day. We often pray together for people experiencing homelessness. Tonight, we begin another rotation of Found House IHN, where some of those very families will be staying right upstairs in our own church. You could pray for these people, and then you could come help with the rotation. You could hear their voices, voices of the people who know more about homelessness than you or I will probably ever know. When I have done this, I have grown in empathy for the situations that families face. I have heard what it is that they most need, and I have put a face to the justice issue, which always makes it more real. Listen to their voices. We pray for communities of color. We have a social justice ministry here at Knox. Though we pray, many of us will never have an idea truly what it is like to live as a minority in this country. Today, after we say amen, you can go outside and grab a cup of lemonade and then head to a program in the social hall where community activist Melanie Moon will use her voice. She will tell us how changes in our country and culture are affecting communities of color. Listen to her voice today. We are a church that prides itself on being open and inclusive, but there is always more that we can and should be doing. How can we be better advocates and partners for our lesbian and gay and bi and trans friends who worship God here? What about those who are not yet in our community who are seeking a place to feel comfortable, a place they can call their spiritual home? Are we listening truly to their voices? Are we listening to the voices of parents who have children who identify this way? Are we advocating for changes that will help them know they are just as welcome here as everybody else? Listen to their voices. Hear what they are telling us. Almost every week, we pray for people around the world who are suffering because of violence and oppression, war, famine, poverty. Too often, we are guilty of praying for these folks as if they have no names, no faces, no stories, but they are trying to talk to us, I promise you. You can go home today and seek out the voices of people who are literally trapped in Gaza without any food. People who are starving to death, whose family members have been killed by bombs. Mothers holding babies with no hope of survival. They are crying out for help, with their voices. Will you listen? Will I listen? Can we listen with empathy and compassion and then pair our prayers with calls for true peace and justice? Can we change the temperature of our faith as Christ calls us to do? We live in an amazing time these days where we can hear voices if we choose to. Sometimes we just have to seek them out. I believe God calls us to listen with our whole selves, even when it's hard, even when it challenges what we think, even if those words might be prickly and uncomfortable. Listen still, because there is truth in the voices of the people who are hurting most in our world. And when we listen to their voices, we will hear the voice of God. In the name of our God of many voices.